Walmart is one of the world's largest corporations, and it's the biggest private employer in the United States. It also prides itself on its profitability and its low rate of shrinkage or lost inventory. But investigative journalist Spencer Woodman spoke to former Walmart managers who say they were encouraged by their superiors to mask rates of shrinkage through a number of improper and possibly illegal techniques. His article on the situation is in the June 11th issue of The Nation, and Spencer Woodman joins us now. Welcome to our show.
Hey, thanks. Good to be with you here.
Can you explain what shrinkage is?
Sure. Well, I guess shrinkage is the amount of goods in a retail setting that go unaccounted for. I think theft is generally thought of as the ultimate culprit of shrinkage, but if you have a number of goods at a retail store and you go to count those goods and some are missing, that's shrinkage.
How did the retail industry come up with such a specific word to describe such a wide-ranging problem?
Well,
when somebody steals something, that's not shrinking. That's disappearing.
Well, it's when your inventory shrinks.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not sure about the etymology of the word, but I think, it describes a variety of different ways that a batch of inventory can shrink.
Are there typical rates of shrinkage in businesses?
I'm not sure if there are really fantastic numbers about the average rate of shrinkage in the retail industry. I have seen that average rate pegged at somewhere between 1.5% and 2.5%, but I don't know if there's an authoritative average figure. I mean, we do know that the retail industry loses billions, tens of billions of dollars each year to shrinkage. I think one estimate puts that number at $35 billion a year for retail U.S. retailers.
If there's a lot of shrinkage, what does that indicate about the business involved?
Well, it's actually interesting. During the course of my reporting on shrinkage at Walmart, I learned that Walmart stores can have a lot of variance in their shrinkage rate. So generally, stores in more urban settings have higher shrinkage because theft can be a bigger problem. Same with stores along major interstate corridors because people pull off the interstate, park, steal, and then get back on the interstate, and that's allegedly a safer setting for theft.
Is it just theft? In her book, The American Way of Eating, Tracy McMillan describes throwing out lots of fruits and vegetables that had been allowed to rot when she was working at a Walmart store outside of Detroit.
Well, I think in terms of produce, I'm not completely sure what category that would fall into. I think that might fall into spoilage, which would be an accounted for loss of goods, and shrinkage is an unaccounted for loss of goods.
Doesn't Walmart have a very high-tech inventory system?
Yes. I mean, I've spoken with several analysts or many analysts, and several of which have pointed out that Walmart is generally thought of to have the most sophisticated, most innovative inventory system on the planet.
So what does that mean in terms of shrinkage? They must have a pretty good idea of what's disappearing.
Right, and I think that's why analysts believe that Walmart or some analysts believe that Walmart has a lower than average shrinkage rate in the industry. Walmart does not report publicly its shrinkage rate.
You spoke with Erica Davidson, a former Walmart store manager who took over a failing Walmart store in North Carolina. What was going on there?
Well, I'm not exactly sure what the problems were before she took that store over. It was, by her account, it was struggling. Partially due to its very high rate of shrinkage. That was a store in a rather urban setting in Greensboro, North Carolina, and it allegedly had shrinkage rates of over $2 million a year. So, these Walmart stores can do somewhere between 90 and 100 some million dollars in revenue a year. So $2 million, that's a big hit to a store's bottom line.
How did she turn the store around and reduce shrinkage at the store?
Well, the kind of precise ways she says she was surprised by the massive reduction in the shrinkage rate of her store. I mean, it went from the year she took it, I think in 2012 she took on the task of turning around this store, and the previous year it had, as they say at Walmart, shrunk out over $2 million, and then her inventory audit in August of 2013 showed that a massive reduction down to $380,000 of below $350,000.
How did she accomplish that?
Well, you know, that question is difficult because she says she was even surprised by that reduction. But, you know, she did say that the kind of preferred methods in North Carolina, in Walmart's operations in North Carolina for reducing shrinkage, included an array of irregular accounting techniques to conceal losses related to shrinkage to make stores on paper falsely appear more profitable than they really were.
But was she posting guards at the door to catch people who had stolen things?
I think they were doing that. I mean, I think Walmart stores do pursue a number of above-board techniques for reducing shrinkage, they do have asset protection managers, so-called asset protection managers on staff to make sure that conventional anti-theft protocols are being followed.
Why would her superiors have preferred that other method?
Well, I mean, that's a good question.
Yeah, I mean, that is really just hiding a situation by lying, isn't it?
Well, allegedly so. I mean, from multiple accounts, the incentive structure that was in place rewarded very low rates of shrinkage, and it rewarded a store delivering good profit margins. And the allegations that I'm exploring are that people were induced through this series of high-stakes incentives, such as positive incentives, such as getting good promotions and improved benefits, and negative incentives, such as getting fired. This created an atmosphere where hitting shrinkage numbers in particular that were acceptable or that were deemed acceptable by top command was basically – it was a top priority, and as long as you were hitting that, it did not matter whether you were performing idiosyncratic inventory accounting at the store level.
Well, this sounds like the VA.
Several people have mentioned that, and I think, you know, it does absolutely – I mean, I think the heart of this issue is what people in finance call internal controls, and that is that, you know, in a massive, complex system where there are numeric incentives and potentially aggressive numeric targets that people are expected to hit, you know, you need to make sure you have fail-safes there to make sure that corners aren't being cut to hit those targets.
Davidson was later fired. What reason was given for her termination, especially considering the fact that she did things to save the company money?
Well, I think if I remember correctly, Walmart put down it was gross misconduct integrity issue. And she believes that she was a casualty of kind of a company effort to clean house and thereby shield itself from accusations of improper accounting. And I guess it would be good to mention here that the company in or around September of 2013 sent company fraud investigators to North Carolina to examine or allegedly to examine inventory irregularities at the store level.
I'm talking with investigative journalist Spencer Woodman. His latest for The Nation is called "Former Managers Allege Pervasive Inventory Fraud at Walmart. How Deep Does the Rot Go?" We will continue our conversation after we take a little break. Stay with us. And we are back with investigative journalist Spencer Woodman, whose article in The Nation, "Former Managers Allege Pervasive Inventory Fraud at Walmart, How Deep Does the Rot Go?" looks at some of the tactics that Walmart has been using to keep the bottom line looking good. You spoke with a number of other managers who told you similar stories to Erica Davidson's. What standards were they held to when it came to reducing shrinkage?
Well, I guess a common story among these managers I spoke with was that there were expectations in terms of the numbers they're expected to achieve.
Were they possible to achieve?
Well, allegedly they were impossible to achieve through ethical accounting methods, and that there was some winking and forceful nudging to get them to carry out idiosyncratic accounting methods to deliver the numbers that were that made their stores appear better on paper than they really were.
What's the role of asset protection managers?
Well, asset protection managers keep a kind of close eye on inventories. They keep a close eye on anti-theft protocols. They, I believe, supervise the kind of in-store retail detectives, people who are walking around the store watching for shoplifting and things like that. But they're very my understanding is that they're quite involved with the store's inventories and shrinkage rates.
You spoke with a man who has a really great name, Cody Champagne. He's a former manager from Texas who left Walmart in part because managers encouraged unethical accounting to hide shrinkage. What did he tell you about what he'd found?
Well, Mr. Champagne told me that he, you know, throughout his years at retail, I guess came into Walmart with a certain idea of how retail accounting was supposed to be done. And at his store, he saw a few different things. One thing was that he saw simply people due to understaffing, not having the ability to go out and actually perform the required physical counts of goods. So without the ability to do that, they would simply fabricate counts of inventory and punch those numbers manually into the system, basically telling the system that it was an up-to-date physical count when it really wasn't. And that created stocking problems and also replenishment issues. And then he also saw what he felt were deliberate attempts to manipulate accounting records to improve so-called scorecards, which are how people are evaluated at Walmart, and that that the kind of byproduct was that of that was inflated profitability
in clothing sales.
Right. Well, you know, he definitely noticed that clothing was one area where people would say, "Hey, we've got a lost TV." For instance, in a high-ticket item, $1,000 TV walked out the door. Don't worry, we'll you know, quote unquote, make up for that in clothing. And I've heard from several managers that clothing apparel departments were subject to manipulation because there were so many, first of all, so many items, and also the seasonality. There are constant what they call markdowns, where the price reduces, and that the constant price changes in that category open the door to a greater degree of ability to manipulate because it's not tracked as much and there's just much more movement.
Isn't there also something called inventory overage?
Right. So
that means you have more inventory than you're supposed to have?
Right. So
why is that a problem?
Well, whereas shrinkage is an unaccounted for loss in goods, so you have 10 jeans, you go to count them, you're supposed to have 10 jeans, you go to count them, you only have 8, you've lost 2. An overage is where you gain inventory in an unaccounted for way. So you go,
maybe the guy who sold the television set brought in a couple of extra pairs of jeans.
Right. So whereas shrinkage is lends itself to an easier explanation, like people stole your stuff. Overages are more difficult to explain. It's less likely that customers brought in merchandise for you to sell. And so, you know, when your inventory has grown to be more than what was supposedly shipped to the store, that raises questions about accounting errors or intentional manipulation.
Who benefits from using accounting fraud and fudging inventory numbers to hide shrinkage?
Well, I think it was very clear at the store level who benefits. The incentive structure that's in place or that is allegedly in place laid out very clear benefits for managers and assistant managers, basically people on salary is my understanding at the store level. And even hourly associates, I think, could get decent bonuses if the entire store reported better profitability. So the incentive to cut corners does appear to have been potent.
But in the end, doesn't it come down to how much stuff you have? And if inventory has disappeared, the final accounting will reveal that, won't it?
Well, and you know, as we say in the article, we just don't know whether any misreporting of store-level profits are affecting the ultimate financial statements of the company. But, you know, it...
Well, wouldn't it make it seem more valuable to shareholders than it really is if you fudge the numbers?
Right. If this is, if store-level misreporting is widespread and it's not being properly corrected on the company's ultimate statements, then potentially the company's profit margin could be compromised.
Would the SEC get involved with something like this?
I mean, if there is misreporting in by a public company in a way that's deceiving investors, the SEC can get involved.
Walmart is a massive corporation. There are over 4,000 Walmart and Sam's Club retail stores in the United States. Do they the manager have a lot of autonomy?
Well, it sounds like they did have a good deal of autonomy in terms of the store-level accounting procedures. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. I mean, this kind of brings me back to the first article I wrote about this, which was last year, where I was just exploring one manager's accusations, a district manager who got fired in 2009. And, you know, he was making very similar allegations. And when I did that article, I talked to several several analysts who cast doubt on these claims because they said the inventory accounting system is kind of too much of a straitjacket for people to get away with it. It's too advanced. But, you know, he was fired in 2009. People I spoke with in North Carolina who were with the company as recently as last month said – gave very similar accounts.
There's a lot of attention that's been paid to how little Walmart employees are made. Some employees are kept as part-time in order to deny them benefits. Did the managers you spoke to find Walmart a good place to work?
You know, this wasn't exactly what the article was about, so I want to be careful in terms of speaking for them
well,
here.
But are you just speaking to people who are bitter because they were fired?
Well, I mean, if I thought that was the case, you know, I wouldn't have quoted them. But, you know, there were concerns, certainly, that they had been instructed and even encouraged to commit accounting tricks to hide losses, and that they were then held accountable for doing that. And, you know, this goes back to the company investigation in North Carolina. We don't know the scope of this investigation, but, you know, when we asked Walmart a number of questions about the allegations and the North Carolina investigation, they did respond by acknowledging they're conducting a thorough review of store-level processes. So it looks like they're taking this very seriously, but I think you wouldn't really call it retaliation in this sense, but I think there are worries that people are being held accountable for doing exactly what they were told.
You say that some managers brought up staffing issues as reasons for inventory problems. Are many Walmarts understaffed or staffed with people who might not be the best people for the job?
Well, the staffing reductions at Walmart have been reported on and criticized by labor groups as staffing reductions have reduced the number of people in the stores. The amount that is expected of the people who remain in the stores has increased reportedly and put people in impossible situations where they just can't do the amount of work that's there. And this relates to inventory accounting in terms of the impossibility of doing those counts according to the allegations.
Why is this a problem that consumers should be concerned about? Have we seen this in other companies? I know you write about Woolworth and Rite Aid. Have they gone through similar problems?
Well,
Woolworth doesn't exist anymore. Now it's Foot Locker.
All right. So, I mean, other companies have been accused of manipulating shrinkage counts. Rite Aid was cited by the Justice Department and the SEC for misreporting its shrinkage. That was a part of a larger kind of a stew of schemes that executives at that company had conceived. But I think, you know, I don't know if potentially stockholders should worry about it, but there's much more research and information that we need before we can make any determination on whether it's inflating the stock price. But, I mean, I think the kind of big deal here is that there is a pattern of accusations coming out that include Mexico and labor practices where, you know, these high-stakes incentive structures are allegedly causing people to cut corners and commit improprieties. So in Mexico, the New York Times revealed that a whistleblower was saying that the command in Mexico is expected to meet very aggressive growth goals and would do whatever necessary to meet those, and that included bribery, allegedly.
Spencer Woodman's investigative report, Former Managers Allege Pervasive Inventory Fraud at Walmart, How Deep Does the Rot Go?, is in The Nation. And I thank you so much for being on our show today to talk about it.
Thank you, Leonard.